Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My Blondie song is not loaded onto the computer this morning, but you know, when it's live radio, anything can happen, and it generally does happen to me. Anyway, good morning. I'm Elaine LaRoche, and we've got a great show today. We have Mayor Dumas coming on at 7:35. We've got Jim Corbin calling in this morning to talk to us about the weather in this wonderful, awesome weather. Mike Catanzaro got up early with me. He's producing my show today. So good morning, Mike. And here we go. So, folks, listen to this. I know my show is out and about with Elaine, or I should say you know, and I truly do get out and about. And I do have to say that I have gone to three events since we last were together. And I'll start off with the South Attleboro Lions Club fundraising event. That was a really local event down at the Elks, and funds raised for the local charities for the South Attleboro Lions Clubs, and the Villaniers and the Reminiscence were there. I seen Dominic and Carol there. It was just really a great community event. And then last Saturday, the Foxborough Lions Club had a show with headliner Danny Klein from the Jay Giles Band, and I interviewed him, and their lead singer, Artie Eaton, was in the studio, and we played that show last week. And last night, I went to On Common Ground's fundraising event with George Leonard, Georgie Pargy, and Jax, who is the marketing director. As you know, a few weeks back, they were on my show, too. And Richard Conti was the auctioneer, and they had a lot of great items to bid on. And if you've ever been to an auction, it's infectious, and I don't care what you say, but it is infectious. So once they put that paddle in your hand and you start looking over the, you know, many items to bid for, I like to get things started. So, I mean, you know, I took some chances on some really great prizes, I thought, and I got outbidded on most of them. All right, I only bid on one, and I won a really great family four-pack of, like, tickets. It was a group thing. It was worth $120-something, and it's for fun. It's for charity. So, I mean, everybody was bidding and bidding and bidding. And so I actually won this prize, which was great, which I will turn over to my family members and myself. I mean, everything from a membership at the Attleboro Art Museum. There's a butterfly exhibition down in Rhode Island. And then there's a couple of other, Children's Museum, a family pack of that. And there was one more thing, which was really, really awesome. And, you know, when you go into, like, another auction is a silent auction. And, again, I get caught up. Foxborough Lions Club, I put one bid in, and hoping that somebody else would overbid me, like by $10 or something like that. Well, it didn't happen, but I do have to say, because I grew up in the era of the Beatles, I was actually getting a beautiful poster. Actually, it was all the, like, most of the their albums in, like, a 4x4 beautiful art display, and the four signatures of the Beatles. But what happened was, when the one of the Lions Club members lifted the frame, it kind of, like, broke on the bottom. So, they were upset, and I said, look, don't worry about it. So they're going to make it right, they said, and I should be getting my prize next week or so, but it's at a framer's right now. And but last night, I actually bid on this thing. My brother and I are very competitive, I have to say. My brother met 50 Cent. He's that rapper down at Yankee Spirits. And he was bragging about it, and he had to buy X amount of bottles of his vodka to have a picture, a photo op. Well, last night at the auction, at the Uncommon Ground, they had many different things, and one of them was 50 Cent's one bottle autographed by 50 Cent. So, and in addition to that, there was this beautiful, these beautiful candle sets, which was very clever, and it said, let's get lit. So, I mean, okay, yes, I like my wine, but, you know, so it kind of attracted me to that particular item. So what did I do? I put a bid in that, and I kept checking, and somebody was bidding against me. Again, the competitive comes out, and it's like, oh, just stop. But did I? No. Because I figured, you know, it's for a good cause, so why not? So I did. I put a bid in, my last bid, and I got it. And George Leonard, you know, who's Georgie Porgy, helped me carry my goodies to the car last night. And it was quite the night. It was really great to, they had a talent show, and it was phenomenal. It was just really, really great. And there's an Attleboro student, high school student, who writes for Saturday Night Live, and she's only 18 years old, and she's amazing. Very, very funny gal, and all the acts from poetry reading to rock and roll and everything in between was represented in North Attleboro at the Bristol Lodge. And the food from Willow Tree, I have to say, was excellent. It was just really, really phenomenal. So my thoughts to you today is to look around and see what events that are up and coming that you'd be interested in supporting your local charities. And that's what I love about this show, because it gives me access to people contacting me, trying to come on the show, and to inform you, but also to ask for your support in many different ways. So the mayor's going to be coming on at 7:35. We switched it around just a little bit so we could have a little bit more time with him. And we're going to talk a lot about his career and how he got into politics, but also to the winter. Our downtown annual festival, the Winter Night Festival, is tonight, and hopefully we will be blessed with great weather. We sure hope so. So anyway, I'm just going to go down a couple of things, and Jim Corbin is going to be calling in with a weather hit. So Mass daily number is 9779. Rhode Island daily number is 0731. Mass cash is 6, 12, 17, 18, 33. Mega Millions is 12, 29, 33, 42, 68, and the Mega Ball is 14, and the Mega Plier is 3. So we have a call. Jim Corbin is calling in, and we're going to find out if we are actually going to have great weather, if we're going to miss this rainstorm. Good morning, Jim, and thanks for arranging your schedule around our special guest this morning.
Yeah, no, good morning. It'd be nice to hear it from the mayor. And again, the story really is, what do you want to do the Winter Night Festival in springtime temperatures, or do you want to do it tomorrow in winter-like temperatures? Again, in terms of the warmth, yesterday, as you might have heard, was the warmest by a few minutes, 72 degrees, the warmest February temperature on record. Now, it's not going to reach 72 today. Of course, we have the fog right now. That is going to burn off. And we're going to reach the mid-60s, and it's going to stay that way with at least partial sunshine this afternoon. Now, that's great if you like it warm. Some people have told me, though, in the last couple of days that they don't like this warmth because there's no snow or ice to play around in. It's still wintertime. This would be almost like yesterday, say the 24th of February was yesterday. The 24th of August is the counterpoint in the summer as you get through late in the summer. That would be like having frost on the vegetables on the 24th of August, and a lot of people wouldn't like that. So that's the way you look at the weather recently. A lot of people like it, but there are a lot of people that don't like this weather because it's too warm. And in fact, I'll say three things about the weather today, this afternoon into this evening. It will be warm, yes, nice and warm, 60s, low 60 right around early evening. But you're going to have a feel of humidity out there today. That's one negative in terms of, and I'm all basing this on the Winter Night Festival, not anything else really. You're going to have a feel of spring or even early summer with high dew points, high humidity. It's so warm, they have the ice sculptures there. They're going to be melting fast. It's going to be tough to keep ice sculptures, especially with high humidity. So ice sculpture is going to be tough. And also, in a more fun, joking way, Elaine, if the Winter Night Festival is late this afternoon or this evening, there'll probably be less people wanting hot chocolate because it's going to be around 60 degrees. But that's just my comments about that. Now, tomorrow's going to be mostly sunny, beautiful day for winter, low 40s, probably around 40 in the late afternoon. Now, in terms of rain, I think it's the opportunity of rain is generally between around 8 o'clock and midnight. So that would be towards the end of the Winter Night Festival. But once again, and even a chance of a thunderstorm. But again, I think the main thing is it's almost too warm, to me anyway, to have a winter night festival when it's in the 60s. But anyway, we'll find out from the mayor if that is not going to be the case, whatever. Now, tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the low 40s. We'll have upper 40s to near 50 on Monday to start next week. And then we'll have kind of an ugly stretch of weather, as I like to call it, with chilly rain for the most part, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then cold weather moves in, more reality setting in for Friday. Temperatures will be in the 30s for highs. And in fact, by next Saturday morning, Elaine, do you know what the temperature is right now, roughly in the Attleboro area?
I think it was, when I pulled in, I think it was like 54.
Yeah, well, that's just about it. By this time next Saturday, we could be looking at about 15 degrees.
Oh, my God.
So it'll
be
about like 40 degrees colder or whatever it is.
Jeez.
Yeah, so winter is back. And, in fact, snow is in my long-range forecast for either next weekend or early next week. But of immediate consideration, yes, most of the rain is going to hold off until probably early to mid-evening. So in terms of if the Winter Night Festival is still being held, it's probably start out dry, but could end up wet with a thunder shower in spots. And the temperatures are going to be so warm, I don't think people are going to be really in a winter mood. It's just my thoughts on that in my forecast. Tomorrow's so much better. It's mostly sunny in the low 40s. Be a nice breeze out of the northwest, not too strong by late afternoon. So, again, it's a take your pick. Warm and humid, almost like early summer today, and then winter temperatures and conditions tomorrow. And there's not going to be a blizzard either.
Wow. Precipitation tonight, we're going to have any precipitation tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be mostly cloudy. I'd say the best chance between 8 o'clock and midnight.
Okay.
So that would be, again, most of today it's going to be rain-free. We've got the fog now, a little mist. But, again, I just think this so warm a temperature is kind of, it's like having a maybe a summer festival when it's really cold, you know? So I don't know. I'm just my thoughts.
Yeah, I know it's going to be hard to reschedule I was talking to George Leonard because his group is playing, tonight.
But it's known that the rain date or whatever the date, I almost think of this as the too warm date. It's been known that there would be a possibility of having it on Sunday, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's out of the blue at the last minute. Oh, well, no, we're going to change it. I mean, it's been known that there is a rain date. So
right.
That's just my thought about it. It's almost more of less of a rain affecting it than just too warm.
Too warm.
But just my thoughts. And again, the good news is if you want winter to come back, real winter, tomorrow, yeah, mostly sunny, a nice winter feel. The real winter comes back late next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and early the following week, a possible snowstorm. So the snow is gone now everywhere outside of piles, obviously. But we may try to bring the snow back by about another week or so.
Okay. Can you hold on for a second? Because I got to take a quick break, but I really want your opinion about the 7 Earth-sized worlds that were just found.
Okay, sure.
Can you hang on? Okay, great. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to be right back with Jim Corbin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet.
On Wednesday, March 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro will host a presentation by Rob Adamski of the New England Wildlife Center. Mr. Adamski will explain the issues of wildlife in our region and what the Wildlife Center does to help them. Attendees will learn what to do when encountering local New England wildlife. To register for the event or for more information, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org. Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and I am talking to Jim Corbin about this wonderful, wonderful discovery about seven little planets that are circling Earth. So I was really excited to hear about this. What is your take on this, Jim? Wow. Hello?
Yes,
oh, there yes. we are.
There we are. Didn't hear you for a second there. Yeah, you asked about the planets, the seven planets.
Yes.
Sounds like a book or something, but or a movie. But anyway, I think as astronomers feel. I mean, I'm not an astronomer, but my thoughts on it. It's amazing that they found seven all at one time, which I think is kind of unusual. They found planets before that are planets that go around similar. What it is, I think, is planets that are going around a star that is similar to our sun, which obviously is a star,
mm-hmm.
And at the same rough distance around, which they think, because it's almost like a somewhat of a repeat of what Earth and the sun are here. If we have life on our planet, like we do here on Earth, and the sun is a certain distance away, then if they find other planets going around a sun somewhat similar at a somewhat similar distance from Earth, then they figure that there could be life on them. That's what I think we're really talking about here. I mean, it will probably take decades to even find out if we were to explore it, but at least to know that there are a sun, which again is a star, our sun is a star. Obviously, it's nice and bright because we're only 93 million miles away, but with a similar size planet at roughly the same distance that Earth is from our sun, that's what they're thinking, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really quite unique. And I would have thought with all the, you know, all the technology that we have, that we haven't discovered this sooner rather than later. So
yeah.
It almost wonders if NASA is going up for budget cuts and new budgets and this. Oh, no, wait, we have these new seven planets we have to explore. Who knows,
yeah, well,
right?
It would take probably hundreds of years to even be able to get to these planets. So what we're doing is we're seeing them either through the best telescopes. Of course, we had the telescope 15, 20 years ago, the best telescope in space that we have now. And also, they can track by radio waves how big these things are. Say, how can you, how do we know how big that planet is billions of miles away? We don't have a ruler. We can't take the ruler out there. But they can estimate through telescopes and also the way the radio waves and things bounce off them. So, I mean, when you think about it, how did we know how far away the moon was before we ever arrived there in 1969? We knew through estimating distances and angles of telescopes and things like that. So not like we took a yardstick and stuck it on the Earth and pulled it all the way out to the moon. Oh, the moon's 240,000 miles away. So, I mean, I'm having joke and fun with that. But no, that's it. It's interesting, but I think it's more to know that we are not the only ones in the universe. That possibly could be even humanoid. So that's what I think really should take out of this.
Right. No, I understand. And you are always asking me questions about weather and things, but do you know what's happening 2 weeks from this weekend?
2 weeks from this weekend, weather-wise, let me see, daylight savings?
Yes. That's right.
You're not going to get me, right?
Wow, you're sharp. Yes, I actually had to look that up, but 2 weeks from now, we spring forward.
That is something to look forward to. Of course, as we've talked about before and you've asked and we've gone back and forth about, is it good to keep it all the time or maybe never have it? And I think it's all having to do with, the time you do things during the day,
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be something to look forward to, though, in 2 weeks. Yeah, so 2 weeks from tonight, I guess, right? Yeah, 2 a.m. Sunday on the 12th, I think it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daylight savings. It doesn't mean the days are any longer. It just means we rearrange the time that there is light. So it's going to be an hour later of light in the evening. That'll always be good. So.
That is always good. And guess what's happening on June 17th?
You're going to try to get me again, aren't you? Okay. June 17th. Well, that's Bunker Hill Day, I know.
Oh, my God.
But no, what's happening on June 17th?
Farmers Market opens.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, yeah. So that's, and of course, I've heard people ask, why do they open, why do they start that late? It's because all the vegetables around here can't grow to maturity before that date, generally.
That's
why.
Right.
That's why the, I've heard people say, why don't the Farmers Market, why don't they start like in April? Like, well, the weather's pretty good. Well, yeah, but you don't have any, most of the vegetables there are not ripe yet. They're not, they haven't grown enough yet.
Right, and I can't wait because...
it'd be great, yeah.
Oh, my God. After the show, I go to breakfast, and then I go do my farmer's market. It became a staple. I have somebody that I work with that also lives... She lives in Attleboro with her family, and I said to her, guess what? And she said, what? I said, guess what's happening June 17th? Mark it down on your calendar. So she puts her calendar. She said, okay, what is it? I said, farmer's market starting again. She goes, oh, my God, this is so great. Because it has become such a staple in our community, you know, where you can go out there and meet family and friends. But you're also supporting local growers, too.
Oh, it's great. And they were able to get their permit finally over the last week or so.
Yes.
So that's good. There was
yes.
some sort of an issue there. But, yeah, that's good. That'll be in June. Hopefully by June 17th, it will be very pleasant weather-wise. And I'll end on this, Elaine. Again, not to make a big deal of it, but if I had to pick a day to do the farmer's market, I would do it tomorrow when it's going to be mostly sunny, obviously when the sun goes down. But it's going to be in the low 40s, 40 degrees. The ice sculptures will be frozen for the most part. People will be eating or drinking more hot chocolate. It'll just feel more like winter in a winter festival.
Mm-hmm.
Today, even though the rain may hold off until 8 o'clock, it's going to be cloudy. It's going to be in the low 60s, mostly cloudy anyway. That's
right.
That's great if you're just taking a walk or going sitting in the park, but you want it to be a real winter night festival. Tomorrow, I think, is the day.
All right. I'll pass that along to our
right.
mayor. So listen, are you going to Terracom today and tomorrow? We have we have all the horror superstars down in Rhode Island Convention Center this weekend.
Oh, I'll think about it.
Yeah, awesome. Terracom starts at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, okay. I'll maybe make a run at it.
All right, go put your costume on.
Yeah, really. I was Charlie Brown growing up as a in Casper the Ghost when I grew up with Halloween for Halloween.
That's
I have
awesome.
I have a round face. So. I was good for Casper the Ghost and also Charlie Brown's round face.
Oh man, that's all. I would kill to see a picture of that of you doing that. That's for sure. Hey, listen, think about coming in one of the Saturdays in March. It'll be good to see you to catch up.
Definitely, I
okay.
will. And again, enjoy the warm weather today. Winter comes back in terms of the weather tomorrow.
All right, sounds great, Jim. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. Thanks for calling in, and we'll see you next Saturday, regular time, 7:35 is great.
Sounds good, Elaine, and talk to you later, Mike.
All right, take good care.
Yep, bye.
All right, there goes Jim Corbin, and looks like we've got a real mild weekend. Jeez, hodgepodge, and maybe even really very cold weather next Saturday. I don't know. I don't get it. But I have a feeling that we're out. I don't know, Mike, what do you think about the weather? This is really, really crazy weather.
And I love it.
You love the warm weather. I have to say I do, too. But you know what? March is going to really hit us with a snowstorm. I just have a feeling. I'm not kidding. It's like it's not over till it's over.
Like I said, I knew that I wasn't going to get too excited. Couldn't get too excited about this weather.
Yeah, it's just really bad. It's going to be. But you know what? 'Tis the season. We have 7 students from Sweden that are working at my company right now, and they think that this is fantastic. They're going, well, where's your winter? Where's your winter? And they say, because they read about, you know, New England weather where it's like 15 below and all this stuff, so they brought all this gear. And it's like, where is it? You know, and say, well, you brought in the sunshine from Sweden because this is very mild.
If that's the case, we can bring more people from Sweden over.
I don't think they have. Yeah, I don't think they have anything to do with it. But I did mention Terracom as one of the things that is playing here at the Rhode Island Convention Center, and it does happen today and tomorrow. It starts at 10 a.m. It goes till 7 tonight, and tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5. And it's at the Rhode Island Convention Center. Adults are $30, and children are $15. I just wanted to bring up a couple of people that I will be having on the shows. All our month of March is Book Solid with Guest. And I'm really happy and really honored to have Frank O'Donnell on next Saturday. He's going to be talking about his foundation, Heavenly Gingers, Frank lost his daughter to a drunk driving accident, and also there is another father, too, that lost his daughter to ovarian cancer, and they formed this wonderful foundation, Heavenly Gingers, and they're having a fundraising event at Twin River on March 21st, and the Rhythm Section is a great teenage group who just performed at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they are going to be performing there that night, and I will brag a little bit, and that is my grandson's group. So Frank O'Donnell is next week. And then we have on the March 11th, Kim, the owner of the Ugly Bookstore, wants to come on and talk to us about her eclectic little bookstore. And I told her that I would be coming in before then to meet with her. On March 18th, we have Chief of Police Jim Anderson from the Wrentham Police Department on. He wanted to come on and talk about the increase in identity theft and how you can prevent that. And then March 25th, we have George Leonard back in the studio. We had to bump George because we had our special guest today, Mayor Dumas. I wanted him to come on and talk to us a little bit about the city and how we got into politics and also about the Winter Night Festival. So we've got quite the month of March, and so we are just so full with so many people. Plus, I'll be telling you about upcoming events and fundraising events, and if you have an organization that you want to promote on our show, I invite you to drop me an email at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E-L-A-R-O, at AOL.com. And just drop me a note, give me your contact information, and I'll be very happy to reach back out to you. Or you can call in and promote your show, your organization. My show, I use it as a conduit to our community. I feel very committed to us and promoting all community events. And that's why my show is called Out and About with Elaine, because I do indeed get out and about. So listen, folks, we're going to take another quick break, and on the flip side, we have Mayor Kevin Dumas is going to be coming on as our special guest. So you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche. Good morning. Grab that second cup of coffee, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Attleboro Arts Museum's Community Gallery will be displaying oil paintings by North Attleboro artist Rick Shears for the entire month of February. Shears is a professional illustrator and painter who works in many mediums. The Community Gallery is located in the reception area of the Attleboro Arts Museum's Emory Street entrance.
Community V&A, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community V&A is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy.
Oh my God.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo, Justin, look at us, we're over here!
Justin, OMG, I love you, Justin, I love you.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's different,
world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. Our mayor is just coming in the studio. He'll be here shortly. Just to recap our wonderful weather forecast today. So it's great weather to go out and about and get some errands done as we do every Saturday. I guess Saturday is the errand day. So, but we're waiting for Mayor Dumas, and he will be here shortly, and we will be talking to him about how he got into politics, among other topics, interesting topics. But I did want to tell you that I did run into George Leonard, who's Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies, and both his two sisters, and he will be performing tonight. So they've been practicing every single night, he said, for 3 weeks. So they're really psyched and pumped, and they're going to be indoors. So no matter what happens, they are going to perform tonight, and they can't wait. And I think they're going to start around 5:30, and the Winter Festival starts today from 5 to 9. And it's free to the community. This is a really great time. My family comes down every year. We have a really wonderful time, and this year is no exception. So they've got many different things going on with a DJ, and they also have Paws, the Pawtucket Red Sox mascot, is there, and he takes pictures with the kids. They love that. It is just really great, and if you're looking for some jewelry, they're going to have the Attleboro Jewelers are going to be holding a sale, and you can definitely pick up some really great items. Also, too, Heller Photography is going to be doing some of that. Also, the Attleboro Arts Museum is going to be hosting several attractions, too. And my son actually went there and seen the Joy of Painting artist, and it was just really a great exhibition, one that I certainly want to check out today, too. And if it's open tonight, I definitely will be doing that as well. So I want to welcome our mayor. He has just come in the studio. Good morning. I'll let him get settled in and everything. It's so good to see you.
Good morning, Elaine. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for coming in. I almost bought you one. I was going to text you and say, do you want me to bring you a coffee?
And you have honeydew as well. So.
I do. I love it. Yes. So we're having, we're going to get him a little situated here. Are we ready to rock and roll?
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about your career, because I have these questions and everything, but I really want everybody to ask you the same normal questions, but here I kind of interview my guest as like curiosity of a child, and I really want to know what inspires somebody to go into public office. So
I wanted to know. So honestly, it started when I was a little guy in kindergarten, believe it or not.
No kidding.
And I remember coming home from school one day, and my mom said, Kevin, what did you do to school today? And I said, they asked us what we want to be when we grow up. And she goes, what'd you say? I said, I want to be the mayor someday. So it actually goes all the way back when I was in kindergarten, and you know, through elementary school, through middle school, of course, through high school, I was just more involved in the community, student government, and my career really started back then, and it really developed getting into really the nitty gritty of community through scouting and through Cub Scouts, Weeblos, Boy Scouts, and I made my way to Eagle. I was fortunate to make it all the way to the top with a select group of people from Troop 37. But we did a lot of great community projects and really the essence of giving and, mm-hmm. and being involved and what it means to take on something that you really believe in mm-hmm. and how do you make a difference, you know?
Right.
And so I really attribute a lot of that to scouting as well. But as I graduated from Attleboro High School back in 1994, I made my way on to St. Michael's College, a small Catholic liberal arts school where I majored in political science and business. And went into the business sector in the beginning because I knew I wouldn't go into government right away. However, before I graduated, I had a wonderful opportunity to actually get into constituent service. And I worked for then-Senator Matt Amarillo, who was represented in the Worcester-Grafton area, Shrewsbury. And really got into the nitty-gritty, had a chance to work with him for the summer at the State House and really get into constituent services and really helping people from his district, whether we're in the district office, whether we're in Boston at the State House, and a great opportunity really to dig your feet in and understand what it means to be able to help people who either write in, who call, or who tend to show up at the office. You never know what you're going to get, in order to be able to take care of their problems and to resolve issues for them. And so it was really neat to be able to have that experience. But of course, upon graduating, went into the private sector and until I ran for office in 2003. Wow. And that's what started my 14 years, wrapping up now 7 terms as mayor.
Yes, I was just going to mention that. 7 terms. Wow.
And it goes by really fast, Elaine. It's amazing of how, you know, you blink your eyes and 2 years have gone by. But at the same time, what's accomplished in 2 years?
Right.
You know, 24 months does go by really fast.
Right.
But to see what we've accomplished over that time period is really amazing.
Right. So who would inspire you when you look at politics and the whole scene? I actually, it's funny that we have something similar because I worked for a state rep for 3 years at the State House.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, I
no
know.
Kidding.
Yes, I did. I worked for Rep. Kennedy in Brockton.
No kidding.
And yeah, and I like the part of constituent services because you do a lot of great things for a lot of people. And I loved it when you had yours here too because it really was a great, it was just really great. And I hope you can bring it back at some point. You know, that gentleman that helped
Scott
our community.
Fullen, yes.
Yes, yeah, at some point, because you really do need that. So anyway, getting back to this, living dead or alive, what inspired you? What politician would you say that was really a great leader, a great politician that you really looked at and said, well, you know, they said what they mean what they said, and I really aspire to that. Did anyone inspire you like that?
On a national level, John F. Kennedy was an amazing person who just swept the country with an amazing movement of giving back and saying, you know, how can we be able to be as Americans? How do we get involved in community and how do we make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And before you ask of someone, what are you going to give? And I think it's an amazing thing that always stuck with me, not only to be able to step up and to be a leader through difficult times in many different ways, but also to say, listen, not ask what you can do.
Right.
To make a difference in your country. Well, that's not just on a national level, that's on a state level, that's on a community level. And how do we choose to get involved and to make a difference? Because government can't do everything.
Right.
But people can fill in gaps in wonderful, beautiful ways that makes community very special. And, you know, and I think that's what Attleboro really means and how it means so many different things to so many people. But when you look at all the organizations, the nonprofits that we have, the number of churches that are in the city of Attleboro, and look at when there's an issue that comes up, there's a special thing that happens, whether it's an issue of homelessness, whether someone's misplaced because of a tragic event in someone's family, people rally together to make a difference, no matter how big or how small. Heating assistance, food drives, whether it's food drives in the school or whether it's food drives through the Heban food pantry. People come out in a myriad of different ways, but that's what makes community.
Mm-hmm.
And those special things. And I, you know, those types of things inspire me. My church, I grew up with St. Joseph's Church over on South Main Street and later transferring over to St. John the Evangelist, but involved in many different ways, ministering to the sick, coming together for other needy events and needy things that really make a difference, battered women, children who have a very difficult upbringing and to be able to get involved and how do we make a difference in that. So that inspires me when you see people give back, people who really serve. And I remember as a young person, the first time I actually got involved in local government was when Mayor Shang was first inaugurated. And I was in scouting and there was a group of us Cub Scouts who had come together and we were actually part of his inauguration at City Hall. And watching how he gave to people, very interesting. He really cared about people a lot and gave in different ways. I think we all have different gifts and talents. He had a gift and a talent to be able to serve people. And people really were attracted to him because he did things that were very different. I remember a snowstorm and, you know, someone had called City Hall. There was an article in the paper back then. And he showed up to help shovel the driveway.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I remember some different things like that. But that's what Kay was, you know. And his wife is still alive today. She's a sweetheart. And they were inspiring to be able to start the first Martin Luther King Jr. celebration in the city of Attleboro over 25 years ago.
Wow.
So just it's amazing when you look back and you see. But I remember those vivid things as a young boy. And watching people give back in different ways. I remember Kay showing up to pancake breakfasts at church in a way, you know, he saw a little thing, and whether it was the Go section of the Chronicle or just an article that was saying, hey, you know, this is what's going on this weekend, and seeing the mayor show up at things. Mm-hmm. You know, those types of things go a long way with people, and I remember those things still to this very day.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, you have been our mayor for 7 terms, and coming in, like, I worked for the city from 2000 to 2003. I had a Department of Public Health grant, and I worked for the health department.
That's right.
Wrote all those tobacco regulations in town. And
that was brand new back in the day.
Yes, it was very, oh, my God. I came across a cartoon. I'll explain that later, but it was not a good time. It was very controversial and everything, but I do remember the change and the shift in attitudes towards people in the city to trying to prevent youth from getting tobacco products back then, health and everything like that. But the downtown was in really disarray. It was really, the sidewalks weren't repaired. There was, seems to be going downhill. When you came on board as our new mayor, one of the things that one of your commitments was to really do a revitalization. Can you describe some of the things that you were able to do? Because it looks, downtown looks really great. We have more businesses coming in. That Renaissance Station, what is it, the Renaissance Apartments?
Renaissance Station North.
Station
right?
North, yeah. Right, is spectacular. So it's like, it went from one area that was kind of like really not as appealing to businesses to making it so much more modern and things. Was that one of your goals and accomplishments that you were?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that's important is that you have to care about your environment. And we decided to focus on a specific area first, in addition to doing the streetscape initiative, which was all the new decorative street lamps, the new sidewalks, the trees, the uplighting in the trees, and do a whole facelift of the downtown. And it took a series of years and all grant dollars that went into that. But it was an amazing project. We did that in 3 phases. Of course, it was the Union Street, Park Street, North Main, South Main sectors, and connecting over on Mill Street up to Wall Street. And that whole amazing image lift really made such a difference. The Veterans Memorial Common was included in that, and we gave that a whole new facelift. We redid the lawn, put in an irrigation system, really more a fitting tribute to our veterans. And really, I mean, the people, there was litter all over the place. The downtown wasn't clean. And as part of this initiative to say, no, we care about every sector of our city, and specifically, we're focusing on the downtown. Mm-hmm. And we need to create a whole new image. And if we don't change our image, then shame on us. And if we want to make a difference, then we have to invest in the infrastructure. We have to invest in the landscaping and the mulch and the flowers and take care of it. Mm-hmm. And to really put that emphasis in. And when you look at now the downtown area, the Memorial Common, you see the beautiful landscaping all along the railroad tracks with the big A on mm-hmm. each side, really building and instilling that community pride. And what a difference and a lift. And you started to hear people when they drove through the downtown say, wow, this really looks nice. Well, that was one of the first things that we did. And that took a period of, I would say, approximately 3.5 years to do the whole thing. And, of course, last summer we wrapped that up with the paving of the entire downtown, which gave a whole new facelift, which is great. But one of the other things that we ended up doing was we focused on an area of the downtown. Now, we had the old post office building, the Shang building, which is right next to City Hall.
Oh, right.
That had been vacant for over 20 years. And the only thing that the city had used in it at the time was they built out a small area in the basement level where building inspection services was, protective inspection.
Oh, right.
And that's the only part of the building that was in use. So when the post office left, the entire first floor of the building, they gutted it. And they ripped out all the old PO boxes. And I guess it's something that the federal government does when they leave a building, specifically a post office. Oh. They took everything out. So we were left with a shell on the first floor. And I said, you know, one of the things, especially it's a governmental building, we need to get this into use. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we took the back half of the building and we created a new professional office space for the building inspection department. And the other half of the back of the building is where all the storage of all the city's election equipment is. And so, of course, we don't see, we show up to vote, but you don't know where all the equipment goes and all the counting machines and the such where you put your ballots through. Mm-hmm. And there's a vault system. And all of that is in one half of the back of the building, and the other side of the rear of the building is the city's building inspection department in a new professional office space. And in the front sector of the building, we created space, and we have a tenant upstairs, which is the Bristol County Registry of Deeds.
Oh, wow.
So if someone has a real estate transaction,
yes,
you can have your closing right there at the building.
Wow.
It's fully restored and fully renovated. So the beautiful front foyer. So I heard you mention the Winter Festival tonight. We use that space, and Nancy Young from Attleboro Jewelers will be occupying that space this evening. And to be able to see how beautiful, they did a beautiful restoration job. That's in full swing. And in the basement level, of course, we have the Registry of Motor Vehicles with their express location. So that building is fully operational. We then invested in the Ashley Building, where Sangrias and Scorpios are located today.
Oh, yes, yes.
We participated with our block grant dollars, our community development block grant, towards the building acquisition. And that building was completely in disarray. And so the building had to be completely gutted. We invested also into each one of those businesses with some of our grant dollars and got those businesses off the ground and running. And we have housing units up on the second floor.
Wow.
So that was a great, because it was
wow.
an icon of a building we wanted
that
to save, but it was
amazing.
An eyesore.
You know? It was, yes.
So we got that up and running. And then, of course, we did Attleboro House, Park Street Pizza. There was the old Tatarian real estate office.
That's right, yes.
We invested into that.
The new facade.
Whole new facade and
yes,
got that business
everything.
Up and running.
Yes, it looks beautiful.
That was another great thing that we participated in. And then the building where, right on the corner of Pine Street and Park Street, an old mm-hmm. building came down and we invested some grant dollars for the construction of a new building
right.
and housing units up on the, affordable housing units up on the second floor.
Wow, I got to hold you right there.
Sure, and we'll be
this
back.
This is great. We will be back. Yes, we will. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and if you would like to call in and ask the mayor any questions about our wonderful city, our number here is 508-222-1320. We'll be right back after these messages.
Dirty Memorial Hospital is offering a free new moms group for women with babies between the ages of 2 weeks and 12 months. Participants have the opportunity to talk about their growing babies, discuss concerns and expectations, and learn different tips from mothers in the group. The group meets every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Michael J. Poisson Education Center, located near the main lobby of the hospital. For more information or to register, you can call Nursing Administration at 508-236-7151.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change the world's behavior through brainwashing. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. And that costs a family of four $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. It's worsening climate change through the release of methane gas. Save the food. Cha-ching. And it's wasting precious natural resources like our fresh water. Save the food. Cha-ching. So when you hear this sound, don't be neutral. Rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
If you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and are unsure of what to do or where to get help, Abundant Hope Pregnancy Resource Center in Attleboro is here for you. We provide lab-quality pregnancy tests and counseling to help you plan for your future. And to those families struggling to take care of their little ones, we offer diapers, wipes, and baby food. Perhaps you are experiencing pain or grief from an abortion. We have a post-abortive healing program to help you resolve those feelings. Our services are always free and confidential. Call us at 508-455-0425.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, that was in my ear. Sorry about that. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I have Mayor Dumas here. He is so graciously come in earlier to talk about the Winter Festival, but also to want to get into more things about upcoming projects and what are some of the frustrations of the mayor, and if you can describe a day in the life of Mayor Dumas.
And that's a lot of fun.
It is so, a lot of fun.
So let's talk about, you know, some of the upcoming projects. I know you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago about Renaissance Station North, which is that large six-story building right on the corner of South Main and Wall Street. That's the first building that was built in relation to the whole new transit-oriented development district. So what you'll see coming now in 2017, which is exciting for late summer, early fall, will be the construction of two additional buildings right across the street. So right in front of the bus loop, there's a large parcel of land. It's
right.
Actually, it doesn't look that large, but it's actually a little bit bigger than the property where Renaissance Station North
That's
is located.
That's what's going in there.
So two separate buildings, a total of 206 units of housing and commercial on the first floor, and that will be right in front of the bus loop and that pad. And then the rest of the project is going to be unveiling. So we'll be opening up the new road, the new connector road from Wall Street, that goes all the way out to Olive Street, and Riverfront Park that'll be named after former Mayor Robbins, who served also as the chairman of the Redevelopment Authority, who really spearheaded that project with me, and we'll be opening up Riverfront Park by June 30th as well. So that's our next milestone to expect by the end of June. And then we are looking at the rest of the development, which is literally behind the bus loop where the MBTA parking lot is, all the way out to Olive Street.
Wow.
And so it's over 20 acres that'll be fully developed. It'll be high density for housing and retail, and it'll be a whole new urban village. And so total, when the project is finished, it should take about, once a massive developer is on board, we're hoping by the end of 2017, early 2018, there'll be a massive developer on board, and it should take about 5 years to do the whole project for full build out, which of course will include a parking garage for the T as well that'll be incorporated into the new urban village.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Really amazing.
That is.
That changes really the sector of the downtown. So you talk about the next steps of urban renewal. Well, when you have an extra 1,000 units of housing in the downtown, you have people with expendable income. You're looking, the people want to stay in the area of which they live. They can walk. One of the things that we're tying together is the new Riverfront Park across the street on Wall Street behind Cumberland Farms.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a cantilevered walkway that goes along the river behind Christopher Heights.
Oh,
that'll
nice.
Go all the way out to the Chinese restaurant, Hong Kong Treasures, and that'll bring you up to County Street and then cross over into the Balfour Riverwalk.
Wow.
So it's a whole new urban emerald necklace, our own emerald necklace that'll be connecting. That'll take you right up to the library. And we also have plans in the works for some grant dollars that I'm applying for to redo the Balfour Riverwalk and to make it more of a downtown urban park where we'll hold different types of events.
Hmm.
You know how we have the concerts in the park in the summertime at Capron Park? Well, there'll be an amphitheater so we can do downtown events and to be able to use that in a different way than what the original Balfour Riverwalk was actually laid out for.
Wow, what a great vision.
Yeah, really changing that whole area because you're inviting people in, and it's not just the people who live in the downtown, but it's all the surrounding neighborhoods that are connected.
Right.
And then people who live in different sectors, whether you're from Briggs Corner or South Attleboro, you know, when you're doing these downtown events and making it a desirable place to be, it's a wonderful place to come together as a sense of community. So we're really changing that whole sector, and we'll continue with another major project that we'll be unveiling in 2017, which is something that people always talk about, which is a sector of Union Street from the old Kidstown up to the corner.
Right.
Where the Chinese restaurant is and around the corner where Hull's Cab used to be.
Oh, right.
So we'll be unveiling a new urban renewal project that will work on taking those undesirable properties. We'll negotiate a sale. I have to take it by eminent domain if necessary, but we prefer to negotiate a sale. And to take those properties, it's all under one owner, believe it or not.
Really?
And we will then do a new urban renewal plan. Those buildings will come down. And we'll do something similar to Renaissance Station, which will be all new buildings, and something that's much more useful and much more desirable than what's there today. And that's really the purpose of urban renewal.
Right, right.
The last time that the city did an urban renewal project prior to the train station project was actually when they built City Hall. So if you recall, Government Center and the old Elks Hall, which is now the police station, that was all an urban renewal project. There were all individual buildings that were there.
Really?
The city came in, took the buildings, demolished them, and did all new site assembly to create Government Center and the police department.
Right.
And that was back in 84 and 85. So we hadn't done an urban renewal until we went over to the Transit-Oriented Development District and created that. And now we'll be doing our third urban renewal project, which, of course, is that sector of Union Street. It'll really shape that whole area of the downtown. And the even more of a great thing is to be able to be in a position to be able to take that property where it doesn't create a lot of tax revenue now, but with new buildings that will be created there, with our small investment, we'll not only get our dollars back, but then we'll end up making new growth that can go into infusions into needs of other city departments.
Right. Oh, my God. Will you please come back, excuse me, in April, and we'll do a full hour because we have to wrap up our show. I can't believe that our time is gone.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. So anyway, I do have to wrap up our show, and I'd like to thank you. Oh, my God. I'll give you 30 seconds to pitch our winter festival.
Tonight. From
yes.
From 5 to 9.
Yes,
we talked
it's happening.
The National Weather Service. We are on. We're going to make it in through the weather today.
Good.
Really excited. There's so many things going on, from a bonfire. We have caricatures, face painting. A permanent exhibit from the Attleboro Arts Museum will be on collection. Attleboro Jewelers will be having a sector of jewelry for sale inside the old post office building. Fire jugglers, hay rides. We're really looking forward to a nice night tonight. Come on down. We expect about 10,000 people. And to be able to, it's a great, free, family-friendly event. Great restaurants that'll be out there as well, cooking up some great food people. So we're really looking forward to tonight. Starts at 5 promptly, and the ice sculptor will be out there, and the alpaca. And a lot of fun. Great raffles inside the old post office building as well. It's a must.
All right. That sounds great. Listen, folks, we got to wrap up our show. I would like to thank Mayor Dumas for coming on. I'd like to thank Jim Corbin for calling in. And, of course, Mike Catanzaro for keeping me on time, which I've got 30 seconds to wrap up our show. So, anyway, Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, will be on next Saturday at 7 a.m. So make it a great week. Thanks for listening. And meet me back here next Saturday.
Listening to WARA 1320 AM, Attleboro.